Now, from Hollywood, Romance. The Romans celebrated it, the Greeks had a word for it. And on the college campuses of America, the word means madness. Spring, when sorority houses get raided, goldfish get swallowed, and even sedate bachelor professors have been known to goof. For anything, but anything can happen in a season sacred to the moon and to romance. So now with Vic Perrin as Professor Ellis Eberhardt, here is Les Crutchfield's delightful story, After All, It's Spring.
Two false, 33 true, 34 true, 35 false. Making 6 correct answers out of 35 questions. Grade F. Come in.
Evening, Professor Eberhardt. Brought you some fresh linen.
Mrs. Merkley, Paradise Lost was William Shakespeare's greatest work, true or false?
False. Anybody knows that.
A half dozen Putnam College freshmen don't seem to know it.
Well, that picture he wrote for Lawrence Oliver was his best one.
You flunked, too.
Ain't you going to the spring sing, Professor Eberhardt?
No, I think I'll leave the spring sing to younger and hardier tonsils.
Everybody on the campus is over there.
No doubt. There's a full moon, lunatic, lunacy.
But after all, it's spring.
A season which at my age I find singularly uninspiring.
Oh, go on with your age. I bet you ain't a day over 40.
I am 35, Mrs. Merkley.
Really? Now, who'd have thought that? Then you sure ought to be out there kicking up your heels, young buck like you. It ain't too late. Why don't you phone up that blonde-haired psychology professor you're always going around with?
Miss Lane is not a professor. She's a fellow.
Huh?
She's a sensible, well-balanced young woman, and our association is purely an intellectual one.
Oh, what a shame. 7 June weddings come out of that spring sing last year.
I have no doubt of it.
It's time you was married. Past time.
A little helpmate to share my problems. After she had created some, of course.
You need a nice wife. I do what I can, but a housekeeper ain't everything.
I find you entirely adequate, Mrs. Merkley.
There's lots of girls just jump at the chance.
I have no desire to be jumped at by girls. Mrs. Merkley, your more or less subtle attempts to shanghai me into wedded bliss are foredoomed to failure. I am safely past the age for mad passion, reckless romance, and the desperate pitching of woo.
A man ought to be married.
I am a bachelor by habit, inclination, and free choice, and I suggest you stop trying to entangle me in matrimony.
Such a pity.
What's a pity?
You. Good night, Professor.
7, 8, 9, 10. 10 more papers to grade. That shouldn't take more than... What? Well, this doesn't belong. Lover boy, don't you know I'm mad for you? Why don't you look at me once in a while? No one will notice. Come on, give a girl a break. Your own doll. But it's a note mixed in with the test papers. It's to me. It's a love letter. Good heavens. An unsolicited confession of passionate affection. Now, who could possibly... A student, of course. Some girl in my classes. But who? Amazing. Your own doll. To me. Lover boy.
Good morning, Ellis.
Good morning, Miss Lane. How are the old ego, id, and libido?
What?
Doesn't the commissary look bright and cheerful this morning?
I hadn't noticed it, frankly.
Yes, indeed. It's a bright new day, Miss Lane, a brand new world.
You having the usual prof, grapefruit and toast?
Why, yes. No, I think I'll have some ham and eggs.
You?
And a side order of hotcakes with 2 pitchers of syrup.
Okay.
And hurry, starvation is imminent.
And so is indigestion. I thought you always claimed that sort of breakfast was more for the physical type of man.
Well, perhaps that's what I am. Down underneath, of course.
Well...
I think sometimes we tend to over-intellectualize our lives, Miss Lane. We become dry and stuffy, old before our time. We need to breathe the gusty scent of raw emotion now and then.
You simply amaze me.
Miss Lane, have you ever considered what literature is really based on?
The striving of the soul to identify itself with the infinite. I believe you defined it once.
It's based on the primeval struggle of life.
Not an intellectual striving?
Raw emotion.
Oh, it's better psychology, but I'm not sure how it stands up as literary criticism.
Love is the basis of life, and of literature, too. The love of a man for a woman.
And vice versa, of course.
Naturally.
Here's your heartburn, Prof.
I'll have another order of hotcakes.
Holy smoke.
I've been giving some thought to love.
You have?
In fact, I sat up last night and drafted a lecture on the theme. Love through the ages. Lyric love letters in classical literature. I'm going to try it out on the senior lit class at 10.
Well, that should be interesting. I have that same group for psychology lab the following period.
Love. Love, the motive force and the goal. The problem and the solution, the beginning and the end. Why, I'm finding the subject fascinating.
I've always thought you might like it if you ever broke the ice.
And I'm going to plunge right on ahead. Research, expand the thesis, develop the theme.
Theoretically, you mean?
Well, yes, of course. Who knows? I might even rearrange my life, emotionally speaking. I'm not too old for love, Miss Lane.
Not this morning, that's for sure.
I beg your pardon?
Your eggs are getting cold.
Oh. How do you think they'll take it, Miss Lane? The lecture, I mean.
In dumbfounded amazement. If I'm any judge of psychology. Tell me something, Ellis.
Yes?
You've always been the cool-minded exponent of intellectual detachment. And now suddenly this rampant plunging. What's come over you?
Nothing. Not necessarily, that is. A man can change.
I've begun to wonder.
He can realize there are different ways of looking at things. He doesn't have to have a reason, necessarily. After all, it's spring. And so we have seen how the same shining thread runs through the pages of literature from the time of Homer down to the present. The motivation of love. We encounter it anew at every turn. That same driving emotion for which Paris stole fair Helen, and in legend at least, thereby caused the launching of 1,000 ships, has breathed life again and again into the heroes and heroines of fiction. And still works its magic yet today in any latest novel you chance to open. And the messages of love, the confession of one's love to the beloved, ever changing with the modes and centuries, yet ever the same. The love letter, as old as language itself. Let me read you one such missive, a product of our own day and time. Yet I wonder if a brown-eyed maid of Athens would have expressed her affection much differently. Lover boy, don't you know I'm mad for you? Why don't you ever look at me? No one will notice. Come on, give a girl a break. Your own doll.
Oh, the low-down trick.
What?
Professor Everhart, you have the sensibilities of a bull.
A bull? Here now, Miss Sanford, wait. Miss Sanford. What's wrong with her? What did I do?
You want to know?
What? Stacy, wait. But I... Class dismissed. Good heavens. Now, why should that note cause her to blush? Unless she's the one. Of course she was embarrassed. She wrote it. Your own doll. Betty Sanford, the senior class beauty queen. Wow!
I've got a woman crazy for me over on the other side of town. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Nell the house, I'm only a lowly pledge who deserves the contempt of the entire human race. Who are you calling?
Miss Sanford, please.
Advance and be recognized.
Just tell her it's lover boy.
Hmm? Okay.
I've got a woman. Oh, Raymie Potter.
Home early, Professor.
Oh, I'm just passing through, Mrs. Merkley. Stopped to make a phone call. A private phone call, by the way.
You got yourself a girl.
Ridiculous. This is merely a routine business call.
Then how come it's so private?
Mrs. Merkley, if you don't mind...
All right, I'll go. But you can't fool me, Professor. You're just too perky. Yes, sirree. You sure are perky.
Miss Sanford.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm late, Professor Eberhardt.
Well, that's quite all right. I haven't been here long.
Oh, would you look at that lake? Isn't it beautiful?
Yes, indeed. I was thinking myself that it had a special sort of brilliance today. There's a bench over here. Would you like to sit down?
I guess. I was kind of surprised when you phoned and asked me to meet you, Professor Eberhardt.
Ellis.
Ellis?
That's my first name.
Oh.
Betty, I do want to apologize. Humbly apologize for reading that letter in class.
Well, I was pretty sore at first.
Of course, I had no idea that you were the one who'd written it.
Yes, I figured that out later. And if I hadn't blown my top, no one else would have known either.
I still feel deeply guilty. There was simply no excuse for making a classroom exhibit out of a thing that, well, that ought to be regarded as a sacred communique of feeling between the two persons involved.
Oh, that's all right, Professor. I don't care who knows about it. They'd have found out sooner or later anyway.
You're being admirably generous, my dear. I can only say, forgive me.
Oh, I already have. I never stay mad long.
Thank you.
Well, I guess I'd better be getting...
No, wait, Betty. I must admit I do feel somewhat awkward in this situation. I mean, a man of my age hardly expects such things to happen to him. And when they do, he finds himself feeling, well, inadequate.
Well, there's no harm, Dan. Forget it.
But I don't want to forget it. It's changed my whole way of looking at things. That charming little note of yours has made a new man out of me.
Really?
I'm alive for the first time in years, wide awake. I feel 10 years younger. And why? Simply because you called me lover boy.
What?
Oh, I'll confess I'd noticed you, but I'd never dreamed that you might feel a certain warmth of affection for me.
Professor Eberhardt.
Ellis, my dear.
Oh, but I didn't write that note to you.
But you didn't.
I must have lost it. I don't know how it got to you.
But I thought...
You thought that I... That we... Oh, my gosh!
Look out for the bench. Easy now. There. I've got you.
Just what I figured. But,
oh, Stacy!
I thought he was up to something when he asked you to meet him here.
I beg your pardon?
Boy, in this college, it's not your pals you got to watch out for. It's the faculty.
My dear young man...
Oh, knock it off. And take your hands off my wife.
Oh, Stacy!
Your what? My wife. Maybe this will make it plainer.
Yes, it's going to be black, all right. You may as well face it, Ellis. The physical man is sporting a shiner. Oh, come on now. You're not so bad off. Think of what happened to Romeo and Paris and some of the other heroes who followed the driving motivation of love.
Miss Lane, this is not a situation for levity.
Oh, relax and enjoy it. Why, it's the biggest event on campus since they spiked the punch at the homecoming dance.
You mean it's out?
Out and growing. According to the last version I heard, you kidnapped 6 co-eds, holed up in the biology lab, and you're snarling at the cops to come in and shoot it out.
Oh, no.
I sort of like that snarling part.
I'm through at Putnam. I'm finished. I'm ruined.
No, it'll blow over. It's like panty posses and sorority raids and painting the boathouse red. Things always happen on campus in the spring. And a week later, they're always forgotten.
Oh, not this. How in the name of heaven could I have been such an idiot?
You got a visitor, Professor.
I don't want a visitor, Mrs. Muckley.
You sure won't want this one.
Lock the doors. Disconnect the phone.
It's Dean Bott.
That does it.
Oh, dear.
Mrs. Muckley, tell him something. Tell him anything, but
don't tell me nothing, Mrs. Muckley. If this aging Don Juan has any fantastic prevarications to pass on, let him do his own lying.
Well, I guess you'll all want to be alone.
Good afternoon, Dean Bott.
What are you doing here, Miss Lane?
Treating the patient. I thought a little psychology might help.
Beforehand, it might have. That or a straitjacket. Eberhardt, talk. And I want a decent explanation.
I wish I had one.
You better have one.
It was just a misunderstanding, Dean.
Misunderstanding?
Well, you see, the truth of the matter is that... Alice, dear, do you mind if I tell him?
No, I'd appreciate it if you could.
Tell me what?
Well, that Alice and... that is, Professor Eberhardt and I are engaged.
We're what?
What?
Engaged. We've been keeping it a secret. Like Betty and Stacy, keeping their marriage a secret. But I guess we can't let it go on any longer now, Ellis. We've got to let the people know.
You're absolutely right.
Well, I still fail to see...
Well, you see, Ellis thought Betty had written that note to him, and he was trying to tell her gently that he was already engaged to me.
Well, that's right. That's exactly what I was doing.
But Betty misunderstood what he was saying, and Stacy misunderstood what he was doing, and... Well, there you are. A black eye and a campus full of rumors.
Yes.
Well, that beats me. Engaged with the prettiest young woman on the faculty. Eberhardt, you are a sly dog.
Oh, thank you, sir. It's nothing, really.
When is the happy day, my boy?
Well, I'm leaving all those details to Mr. To Myra, that is.
We haven't really decided yet.
Literature and psychology. That should be an interesting wedding.
Yes, it will probably produce either a modern novel or a case history.
Well, whichever it is, bless you both and congratulations. This certainly ought to spike the guns of scandal.
Yes, that, I assume, was the idea.
In telling you about it.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, you're a lucky man, Eberhardt. A secret marriage and a secret engagement, all in the same day. I just can't beat Putnam when it comes to surprises.
Oh, you're so right, sir.
Good day, Miss Lane.
Good afternoon.
Miss Lane.
All right, but it got you off the spot, didn't it? Or it will, as soon as we can make it official.
Make it official?
Well, you know this student body, Alice. Putnam is a very suspicious campus. I don't think a bare announcement like this is going to convince them.
Then what precisely are you suggesting we do to convince them?
Well, I thought a sort of demonstration might turn the trick.
Miss Lane, I am willing to go to any reasonable lengths, but when
well,
you...
Relax, Alice. It's nothing drastic. Just a stroll together down along the lake around sundown, say, with possibly a skillfully dramatized incident or two for the benefit of those inevitable snoopers who'll be there.
That's all?
Just leave it to me.
Miss Lane, I'll do it.
Stout fellow, don't worry about a thing. Your future is right in my capable hands.
I want you to know how grateful I am for all you're doing for me, Miss Lane.
Oh, it's nothing, really.
I admire you immensely, you know. Our relations have always been so satisfying to me. A relation, you might say, untrammeled by the chaos of romantic illusion.
Oh, completely untrammeled.
Untarnished by the corrosive and thunderous tides of raw emotion.
I think we'd better rest for a while.
Oh, of course. Over here, by the edge of the water.
Oh, looks fine. Well, is this the fatal bench?
Fatal?
Come on, sit down, Ellis.
Mm.
I think it's time we supplied one of those dramatized incidents.
I haven't noticed any snoopers.
Oh, they're around. Don't you worry. Now, let's go to work.
I'm afraid
the stage is all set. A romantic spot
on the edge of a lake. And you and I and a bench.
What part does the bench play?
Oh, it makes things more convenient. All right, Ellis. Start convincing them.
Of what?
Of that you really had no interest in Miss Sanford because you're madly, passionately, and desperately in love with me.
How?
Try convincing me. That ought to get the idea across.
Oh. Well, Miss Lane, Myra, I do feel a very definite affection for you. There is no denying that I enjoy being in your presence. And as for the stimulating discussions we have so often,
That's never going to do the job, Ellis. Mm-hmm. Here, move closer.
Mm. Like this?
Closer. Mm. These kids are real cynical. And, slip your arm around me.
Mm-hmm.
There. Now, what were you saying?
Well, I was referring to the fact that, or rather to the...
Lean closer, Ellis.
That is, I was trying to point out the light blue conversation of...
Light blue?
The color of your eyes. I'd never really noticed they were that color.
Oh, they've always been blue.
Yes, I dare say, but...
Ellis, talk is never going to convince these kids.
I feel rather odd. Different about you.
In what way?
I'm not quite sure. I feel a sudden strong impulse.
This.
Oh. Myra, come here.
Ellis, no, wait.
Be quiet. This is no time for talk.
Well, stop. You can't.
What have I been missing? Why didn't you tell me about these things?
I tried to. Ellis, wait. We can't act like this. Somebody might be watching.
Sure. That's the idea. Come here.
Ellis, will you calm down and be sensible?
I don't want to be sensible.
Ellis!
I'm in love with you. Madly, passionately, desperately.
Ellis!
I want to marry you. I want to marry...
Look out! Oh, Ellis! Can you swim?
Got in 2 feet of water. Here. Give me a hand.
And another kiss.
You're soaked.
Dripping.
What will the students think?
That we're in love, I suppose. Who cares what they think? After all, it's spring.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim. You have heard After All, It's Spring, specially written for Romance by Les Crutchfield, starring Vic Perrin as Professor Eberhardt. Featured in the cast were Kay Stewart, Helen Klebe, John Daner, Sammy Hill, Sam Edwards, William Euler, and Dolores Pinar. This is Dan Cubberly inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at the same time. Later tonight, on most of these same stations, Herb Schreiner will take your sense of humor in hand and give it a once-over wonderfully on Two for the Money. Hoosier Herb and his droll wit are an irresistible combination for merriment. The quiz part of Two for the Money makes the show that much more interesting to hear. Remember, Two for the Money, tonight.